So this is a little conversation that you might overhear sometime. How was the game? Was it good? Yeah, it went back and forth and came down to the last minute. And one of the players made a really good play to win the game. It really was a lot of fun. One bad part was that my favorite player got injured and broke his ankle real good and is probably not going to be any good for the rest of the season. Wow, how were the children? They were good. I think they really were surprised how loud the game was, and I bought them earplugs so their ears would still be good when they're good and old. Smart thinking. Anything interesting happen on the drive home? No, it was good, as could be. Well, one of the kids spilled a drink on their good shirt, but because we got the good quality material, it came right out with a good scrub. How was your time at home? Oh, it was good. I just relaxed and ate some good food and listened to some good music. When we think about the word good, it has about as many meanings as we could think of. Just in this little question and answer, a couple minutes here, discussion, we see that good means entertaining, intriguing, obedient, complete, useful, safe, delicious, comfortable. Often we say in church, God is good, right? And you guys say?
All the time.
And then I say all the time, and you say?
God is good.
And do we mean delicious and comfortable? Do we mean entertaining or intriguing? No. It's a different definition, right? The 1828 Webster's Dictionary has 40 different meanings for the word good. And HarperCollins Dictionary has 45 definitions. 2014 dictionary has 45 definitions for the word good. So last week we looked at holy, right? And we said, we know what holy means, but like trying to explain it, it's kind of like, yeah, what does that mean, right? And when we say God is good, it's like, yeah, we know what that means, but okay, well, how do we explain that? How do we say, what does it mean that God is good? Well, certainly when we say God is good, at different times we mean it to mean different things, right? Sometimes we mean it to mean God is good to me in this particular situation, right? Maybe you prayed and God answered your prayer and you say God is good, right? Because he answered your prayer. We're going to look at a couple of different things of what we mean by saying that God is good. And then I'm probably going to leave you hanging at the end. Which I don't really like doing, but sometimes I do like to do just for the fun of it. Okay, well, let's go ahead and get started. The first thing we think of when we say God is good is that God accomplishes his will. When he sets out to do something, he does it. God accomplishes his will. Genesis 1:31 says, "Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And so the evening and the morning were the sixth day." We see that that his works that he does are good. Psalm 139, 13 and 14. Psalmist says, "For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." So God's works are good. He has a good purpose, and he sets out to accomplish it. And he accomplishes his works. He also brings his will to fruition. Psalm 37:5 says, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." We know that when God sets out to do something, he brings it to fruition. Numbers 23:19, this is a verse that some of the kids have memorized this year. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will... Was that last year that you guys memorized that? That he should repent. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, will he not make it good? Did any child memorize that in the last 5 years? No? I'm just making this up? Yeah, you guys memorized it. Last year? Okay. Very good. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? There's quite a few different variations where God says something to that effect. But the reality is when God sets out to do something, when he proclaims something to be, it happens. God accomplishes what he sets out to do. Another thing that we mean when God is good is that God satisfies the soul. God satisfies the soul. God's goodness is experienced in relationship. Psalm 34:8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." Psalm 107:8-9 says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness." I remember working with some of the Our Home kids, and one kid in particular I can remember came to me and in a very discouraging time in their life said to me, "Pastor, I have nothing to live for. I have no motivation. I have no reason to continue. I have nobody that cares for me. And what do I do?" And so I told her about the God that loves her. We went through the gospel together. She received Christ as her Savior. And a month later, we were at Bible study. And we were taking prayer requests. And she said, "I have a praise." And I was like, "What's that?" "I want to praise God for the joy that he's put in my heart." In 1 month, God can change a life. And that is so awesome to see. It's so awesome to see God do his work and satisfy the deep longings of our soul. So many times we look for things to satisfy us. "Oh, if I could just get that new thing." But as soon as we get it, "Oh, there's this new thing over here that I really wanted." Right? Happiness is fleeting. But God satisfies the inner soul. And that's why he's good. He's good because he satisfies the soul. God's love demonstrates his goodness. We see this in Psalms 118:1. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever." Psalm 36:7 says, "How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings." Maybe you can testify to a time in your life, right, where you're going through a storm, the storms of life, one of the many. And maybe the Holy Spirit encourages you, or maybe another believer encourages you in God's word and reminds you of how much God loves you, and you feel comforted and safe under the wings of our Lord. But those things are not really what we mean by God is good most of the time. When we say that God is good, what we're actually saying most of the time is that there is an objective morality that is demonstrated by God that people can see, in which we recognize that he is good. Another way we could put it is that God is morally excellent. God is morally excellent. There is no, as 1 John says, there is no darkness in him at all. Right? There is only light. He is morally pure, excellent. We see Jesus said that he is uniquely good. Luke 18:19 says, "So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God.'" There is something about God that is unique in his goodness, in his moral quality. Psalm 33:5 says, "He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." Does anyone love righteousness like our God? Does anyone love justice like our God? Certainly I don't. Like, as soon as I get in trouble, I'm trying to get out of it, right? I'm not like, "Give me justice." I'm like, "Peace, no, mercy, come on, please. I didn't mean it." God is uniquely good. One of his moral qualities that makes him uniquely good is that he forgives iniquity. He forgives iniquity. That's really hard to do if you ever tried. Exodus 34, 6 and 7. This is the Lord. This is after the Lord brings the people out of the Egypt, right? Does all these miraculous wonders, brings them to the mountain. Moses goes up in the mountain and he gets the Ten Commandments, right? And they're in the middle of their discussion. And what does God say? "You better get down from this mountain because those people are doing something very bad," right? And here, they had lost track of Moses, thought he had went off in the deep end, probably died up in the mountain. And they had gotten all their gold together, and Aaron had made a golden calf, and they were worshiping this and saying, "Hey guys, this is the God that brought us out of Egypt. Let's worship this little golden calf thing." So Moses comes down, drops the tablets, breaks them, right? Oh my goodness. Then he goes back up, says, "Maybe I can convince the Lord to forgive you." And so this is God's response. Exodus 34, 6 and 7. "The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation.'" How can God be merciful and yet not clear the guilty? Well, that was done at the cross. If you look at Romans chapter 3, this is exactly what Paul is explaining. He's saying, because of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made on the cross, God can be just and the justifier of the one who believes in Jesus Christ. That's your homework this week, Romans chapter 3. Psalm 86, 1 through 10 says, "Bow down your ear, O Lord, and hear me, for I am poor and needy." That's a prayer we could all pray at different times of our life. "Bow down your ear, O Lord, hear me. I am poor and needy." Maybe it's not finances. Maybe it's poor in health. Maybe it's poor in attitude. Maybe it's poor in spirit. Maybe it's poor in my marriage. We've all been at different times poor and needy before the Lord. "Preserve my life, for I am holy, Was he saying that he was perfect? No. We'll see here in a second. He's not saying he's perfect. He's saying, I am set apart for you, right? Remember me because I am yours. You are my God. Preserve my life, for I am holy. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. And be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long. Rejoice the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant in mercy to all of those who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, O Lord. Nor are there any works like your works. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. What a wonderful prayer. And I'm guessing at different times in our life, each one of you have prayed a prayer similar to that. God, you are good. And I need you. I need your help. God is good. He alone is good. That we know. What we don't know is what that means. And I really mean that more on an academic level. We really don't know what that means. God is good. Let me explain it this way. How do we know that God is good? Well, you could say He is God, and therefore He is good. Okay, well, what does that mean? Well, it means that God, where does His goodness come from? Well, it comes from His deity, right? If you look at a lot of commentaries, it'll say, because He is God, therefore He is good. But then they'll say, because He is good, therefore He is God. And that's what we call circular reasoning. And so different theologians have tried to figure out where is His goodness? How do we explain His goodness? Because if there is good apart from God, then He is not God. Because He has to appeal to a standard of goodness outside of Himself, right? So if we say objective goodness is a standard apart from God, and in every way God meets that standard, then God is dependent on something outside of Himself to be good. And God is not dependent on anything. And so therefore we can't say that. If we say that God is good because He is God, we kind of find ourselves into circular reasoning. So different theologians have said different ideas of why is God good? One idea is that God's goodness is based in His love for us. Because God is love, God is good. And that's not circular reasoning. Because God is love and He has demonstrated His love for us on the cross, His love has an objective quality of goodness to it. I will submit to you, and I will explain this in the future, hopefully in a few weeks, that God's goodness does not come from His love. It comes from His attribute as Creator. Because God is creator, because he made us, because he has a purpose for us, therefore he has a standard by which he set to measure us against his purpose, and therefore God judges us against that standard, and therefore God perfectly judges us because he is the creator and he owns us, then he does what is his good pleasure. And that God's moral perfection comes by his ability to carry out his perfect will. If that was confusing for you, come back. Keep coming back because we're going to kind of dive into this a little bit. If it's just not even something you're interested in, don't worry. But God is good. He is morally excellent. And sometimes you'll hear people say, when you say that God is good, it's just something that you're saying. It's not something that you can demonstrably show that God is good. Well, first of all, we have to define what we mean by God is good. But second of all, we do have great reasons to say that God is good. And I hope that you are one of those reasons and that you, from your own personal testimony, can say that God has done good things in my life. But we'll get into more of that hopefully in a couple weeks here. Let's close in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, you are good. Your goodness is demonstrated in so many ways. Lord, you are the creator. You are the sustainer. Lord, we know from your word that everything that exists, exists because of your will. And you hold everything into being. But Lord, we also recognize that you desire to do good to those who call upon your name, to those who trust in you, to those who are holy, to those who seek you and follow you, to those who are righteous, to those who are morally virtuous. Lord, your eyes roam to and fro, seeking to hold up those who are righteous. And so, Lord, we recognize that we cannot be righteous in our own works, but because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, we can be clothed in his righteousness. Lord, and that we can be seen by you as good. And Lord, we know that you are good. And so, Lord, we want to continue to worship you. Lord, we ask that you would just encourage us in our spirit as we go through this week. Lord, as maybe as we get busy with all the different details, Lord, I just pray that we would take time to be thankful, to be grateful, and to remember how good you are to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.